There she is, the girl. Right, first question. Let's go. I'm asking it. Should I link Stripe to Calendly? I haven't done the pricing module yet, so I think this will explain it more.
Depends on your model. Depends on the service you're providing. Like if it's should you name it? No, I don't think you should. Why? Because I think if you're okay, so yes, if literally someone could buy something off the shelf, so to speak, like if you're just sitting there selling hours of PT, people can buy, or even like if it's small group PT or something like that, where literally you're selling like sessions, then yes. But I don't advise that. If you're taking people through a consultation phase to then position the right service, you'd probably want, you don't know what the service is to point them towards until they've been through that. So I would say no on that front. Anything to add?
No, I would agree.
Bloody brilliant. Yeah, whatever. What do you think is a good range of sessions to do per week to avoid burnout, but to maximize income and a high level of service? What a good question.
That's very much like a question from a client saying, how much do you think it's best? How much weight do you think it's best for me to lose? It's going to be very much dependent on your situation, your goals, the vision for the business, how fast you want to get there, what you value. It's going to vary dependent on all of them, different kind of variables and more. So it does very much depend. It's like the way to view it is like, essentially, if you have a goal of where you want to earn as much revenue as quick as you possibly can, and you're willing to sacrifice time with yourself, hobbies, family, and all of that, well, you could turn around and say, well, actually, a good range of sessions is probably about 30 to 40, which would probably be the top end, in my opinion, the very top end. But in my personal opinion, a good range of sessions to do per week to avoid burnout that also includes a service that has decent communication to clients, he's treating the person as an individual, he's communicating well, programming effectively, still marketing, still staying in control of all of the business, is probably in and around 20 hours of personal training face-to-face per week, max. That would be my opinion on that. Because if you then mix that in, let's say that's 10 clients on two sessions per week, for me, that's still 10 hours additional work, coaching and communication that you would be doing in terms of tweaks to programs, communication and feedback from check-ins, and any additional support for that client. So like another 30 to 60 minutes. So you could argue there's another 5 to 10 hours there to go on top of that, plus all of the business time, which means that you're doing a 40-ish hour week covering all angles. And the return on investment of that will depend on the quality of the coaching and the service. Obviously, you could charge higher for great coaching, great service, and the return on investment would be better, but in and around 20 hours for me. What would you think, Nick?
I'd agree. I think it definitely depends on your personality as well, I think. It definitely depends on the clientele, I think, as well, has an effect. Like if you've got, you're always going to have a certain amount of clients that really take up a lot of energy, and not physically, but like just mental energy from you. And, you know, sometimes with those types of clients, 1 hour and you need the rest of the day off. So I think I always say that if you're doing a run of like block of clients back to back, or even if you got like 15 minutes in between or whatever, if the last one isn't getting as much attention, enthusiasm, focus as the first one, you know, you're doing too much in that day. And if you find yourself getting distracted by your phone or the things in the gym, whatever, then you're doing too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to be really controversial now, but fuck it. I've never seen many personal trainers who do more than 30 hours PT coach and deliver a great service effectively without being overworked and burnt out. Can't recall of any that I've worked with, and there's been hundreds that I've worked with over the years, including myself. I put a post about this, probably a year ago, 2 years ago, that if you're delivering a service that's 35 plus 40 hours a week coaching, your service and coaching is probably dog shit, and I still stand by it. Just thought I'd add that on the end, Nick, for a bit of controversy, just in case we ever want to use it, you know.
It's not controversial, really, is it?
No, fuck them all, Nick. That's the one. Can you explain how to take time off from one-to-one clients without having to double up on sessions before or after you break, and how would you communicate this to clients? You always seem to get that question in the Q&A.
I know, you answer it.
I don't want to.
No, you answer it.
It's your turn. We've got a fucking system tonight. It's your turn. Just answer the fucking question, man.
Well, actually... sorry. First of all, you need to take the focus off selling hours of PT, because no matter how you go around it, if you're just presenting hours of PT and people are buying 8 hours of PT in a month or 10 hours of a block session or whatever, then that's what they've bought. So that's what they expect. So it's going to be very hard to not give that back and not either have to double it before and after or lose revenue. So it always starts, first of all, on how you present what people are paying for, i.e. the whole service. That's the first thing. Secondly, from a communication standpoint to your clients, it's very simple. When they're signing up at point of sale, when it comes to holidays, whether you're asking for as a courtesy for them to give you 4 weeks notice and you give them 4 weeks notice, whatever you want to do with that. When it comes to the price point, we don't have to, I've already accommodated for me being away X amount of time a year into your price point. So we don't have to change that when I take a holiday or when you're away. The other hand of it is that, what would you like to do when you're on holiday? Do you want support when you're away, or do you want to completely relax, down tools, chill out? When I'm away, this is how I'll help you when I'm away. So what you've done there is you've made them aware at point of sale that you going on holiday, your annual leave is accommodated into the price point, and that you'll take care of them while you're away, and whatever they want to do while they're away. That's the communication on the client, from a client facing. And what you need to do then, you need to work out how much of a value, for example, a week's worth of coaching is, so you can then spread that cost over, let's say, on average of three months every quarter, if you're taking a week off every quarter, for example. And take that off the normal price point. Okay. How to approach an online client that has not got back to the last three messages or not checked in? Motherfucker.
One of two things. I would either leave them to it. I'm just waiting for them to get back to you and see what happens, if they cancel the payment or whatever. The other one is that potentially I'd reach out. You've probably done this already. And see if they're okay. Just ask one open question. Just let you know I'm here if you need anything. Here for support. I'm sure you've done it already. But other than that, I just leave them until they'll either do one or two things. Have a couple of weeks where they then get back in touch and there's been a problem or an issue, from my experience anyway. Or they'll just fall off a cliff. Not literally. Let's hope they've not. But they'll just go missing and cancel the payment. And then we can start to, if you want to, start to troubleshoot why you think that might have happened. Is it understanding from point of sale? Was it the right product and service? Was it the right communication? And you can troubleshoot that and try and learn a lesson from it if you can. But other than that, one of them two things. Anything you do, apart from hunting them down and go to their house and put them in the boot, take them to the malls.
It's the best option, isn't it? No, I'd give him space.
Any advice on lead magnets aimed at busy parents? I have some ideas, but wondered if you know any golden ones for this market that work well. Thanks.
You're
I like probably... a question that makes us think.
I think you've got to look at, work through this of the challenges that they'll face. Is probably time's an obvious one. Being able to be flexible with the workouts they do, where they do it potentially, if they can't get to the gym, home workouts potentially, workouts with the kids, getting them involved, some hacks and quick go-to meals as well might be a shout. So I'd take time as one of maybe the key ones. I mean, that's always going to be a barrier for everybody, but more, probably more of a premium for parents. And then, I'll probably work off a few of those. Maybe a position like a workout schedule that is flexible so you can either do at home, do with the kids, or do at the gym, really time efficient, really effective. Some short, real, convenient, easy ways of getting the right type of nutrition in that are aligned with their goals. Those are probably two that I'd probably go to. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I don't know what you said because I ignored most of what you said.
Well, it was golden, mate. You would have learned something then.
I was reading the next question and starting to think of the answer, if I'm dead honest with you.
Be present, please, Anthony.
Did you say programming? Did you say a program?
Oh, God. I said a program.
Yeah.
Flexible, either at home with the kids.
No, I agree.
Time efficient. You're going to let me finish. You're going to listen first.
I agree with that.
Can't listen now.
Fucking let it go. As fucking Elsa and Anna said, let it go, you daft twat.
Was that banter? Was it? It's about as good as Matt's.
Matt's was terrible. Next question, please.
What is the best way to support someone who hasn't got any goals?
Good question, this.
Oh, well, that's the first problem. My client has been with me a year. Her nutrition and training are good. I feel like she's not getting anything outside of the sessions, and there's not much feedback to give from her check-ins.
Do you see why I was ignoring your answer to that other question now? Because I was looking at that one.
Sorry?
It's a great question, basically, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Did you put me on mute then a minute ago?
I probably did it as a default. It's automatic.
Right. Listen, this is a good question.
A good question. We'll just get on with it. You know what I mean?
And when someone's been with you for a long time, it becomes, in a lot of ways, you fucking smirk at me again, I swear to God.
What will you do? You're doing nothing? You're sitting there?
You kidnap you and your dog, you twat. a really good question to ask them. Anyone who is at this point, right? A really good question to ask them, and it's one that we ask you lot quite a bit, is what do you want to start, stop, and continue? What that does normally is opens up. They will have goals, right? They will have stuff that they want to achieve. They probably won't be at specifically where they want to be. Otherwise, they won't pay for your service. They won't pay for coaching. And I've had people like this in the past and say, I'm just paying for the accountability now. Well, my answer to that normally is, right, well, how can I create that self-accountability for you? So ways around that is in regards to your training, nutrition, in regards to your mindset, in regards to your environment away from the session, seeing as though they're not doing that stuff, what do you want to start doing? What do you want to stop doing? Because it's potentially getting in the way of any progress that could potentially happen. And what are you really happy with that you want to continue doing moving forward? What you'll find is from that question, they will, I know I'm repeating myself slightly, but they will start to go into the stuff that maybe they haven't talked about for a while. So that would be what I would do, one of the first things. If they've been with you for a long time, are they taking for granted the service, the coaching, the accountability? And are they on the right service? Is it that potentially they could move on to a different service that would be more beneficial? Sometimes that might be a higher price point, lower price point. It very much depends on the person. But that question normally opens up the challenge for them. Anything you would say to that?
No, I'd agree with that. I think usually those types of clients who have been with us for a while, usually our coaching views, understanding of our service changes as well. So I would just also check in with what your expectations are for that person and make sure that you're not pushing your wants for them and putting that above what they want. Or no, let me rephrase that. Don't let that cloud you not hearing what they want.
Yeah.
It's a key thing.
It's a good point, actually. Well done.
Oh, fucking hell.
Is there anything I want to say on that? Because I think it's I know I've said it about 26 times, but it is a really good question that. Yeah. Is there anything else I want to say on that? The only other thing that I would say is make sure they've still got a level of psychological safety and they're being truly honest with you. And if that means a couple of separate chats away from the sessions, that might help them open up more. That's it. Last question. If you work face-to-face, should you still do weekly check-ins of some sort? And then he's put, because I don't even need to check who has asked this question. It'll be a fucking miracle if this makes it in on time. He says it every week, but he still makes it in on time.
I mean, first of all, you've got to look at the person. That's a given. But the majority, in my opinion, the majority of people that general population would benefit from a check-in. That's relevant and aligned with what they're trying to achieve. So as an example, the vast majority of people would probably need to understand, vast majority of people are wanting to lose weight and tone up in some degree. So vast majority of people can't do that because they don't understand thermodynamics and how to apply that. So the first thing they'll probably need to understand or going forward is, you know, how to create that deficit, which is going to help them lose body fat. So your check-in is an extra coaching opportunity that you're setting up the check-in to give you an ability to coach. So even if you're seeing someone face-to-face, I personally, for the vast majority of inexperienced gym goers that are looking to lose weight and tone up, would probably start off with doing a check-in, yes. Anything to add, Anthony? You listened to that one, did you?
I listened to part of it, if I'm honest. I just think the self-reflection and getting them used to measuring, how ironic that we're talking about this to PTs, getting them, the clients, used to measuring performance on their level, whether that's a person who needs to focus on sleep, because that's a contextual cue to... for them to go and eat like fucking their day because they're tired and they're comfort eating, whatever it is for that person, that you build out a check-in that's relevant and specific to them. I think as soon as you do that, it's not just a standard check-in that is delivered to everyone. So I do still think it's really vital for people. For them specific performance-based goals and for the self-reflection as well. Just thought I'd add that, Nick, to whatever bullshit you said. Hey, I tell you what, it's a barrel of laughs on here tonight. A barrel of laughs. Is there any questions in the group? Is anyone even here? They are here, yeah. Bless them. They are. Oh, there's questions in the group.
Going over my current schedule, trying to do my current shifts at my gym, two late shifts, 6 or 10 during the week. Thinking with the people I work with would be better to change the days, would be potentially easy, looking at structuring days in 3-4 hour blocks, if you know, I will be spending less time working from a home, working in a different location around the gym more.
And then he's extended that. I feel like I'm not putting the time I should be in, if you know what I mean. May want more context, but hopefully that helps. Mate, I think building a structure is trial and error when you're self-employed. And I do think it takes time to get the structure that you get the best out of yourself with. I think it takes time. And like I said, it's trial and error. So if that's something that you want to try, try it. Like, there's no harm in trying it, but just make sure that you try it for long enough and don't change it just because it's not going to plan straight away or whatever. Like, make sure you try it and see it through. That's what I would say. Like, building a structure and routine as a self-employed person, especially the PT, is tough because you obviously don't mind staying in the gym the majority of the day, but then it starts to be 12-hour days. And by the looks of it here, it looks as though that's going to be a 12-hour day for you if you're going to do 3-4-hour blocks. So yeah, I'd be wary about that. But trial and error for structure and routine. Sam, question. I currently charge clients every 4 weeks. Is it fair to start charging monthly and taking a week off every quarter whilst keeping the price the same?
Go on, you can answer that.
Yes, it's fair. Yeah, it's fair. And I think it's an easy way to articulate your holiday process as well, if I'm honest. The only awkward thing is if you've not got a 5-week month in that 3-month period that it is, but 9 times out of 10, you will do. But yes.
Balances out, doesn't it? Balances out.
Yeah.
Over the year.
Yeah. It's an easy way to articulate it, to be fair. Right then, some good questions there tonight. Different doing it at night instead of first thing on a Tuesday morning. But here we are, Nick. Seeing your fucking head on Zoom yet again. Ladies and gents, I hope you have a nice evening.
See you later.
See you later.